When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network. You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
Wake up from that tryptophan nap that you've been taking, because it's time for us to talk about the movies we've been watching this month that we didn't do episodes on. So, welcome to What Did We Watch This Month, our little roundtable discussion of all the movies that we've been seeing in theaters or on video or TV shows or comic books that we've been reading or whatever the fuck else. So, Scott, do you want to kick us off? You said you got some TV shows up your sleeve.
Yes, I do. So, I have quite a few to talk about, but I'm going to start off with Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Yes.
Oh my God. So all three of us have watched it, right? Or Matt?
No, it's next on my list to watch. I finally, this isn't on my list, so I'll say it. I finally finished BoJack, which was like my goal. So Sabrina and Atypical are the next two things for me to watch.
Oh man, I cannot say anything negative about Sabrina. Like even the stuff that I don't love about it, which is basically Kieran Shipka half the time. She's actually not a good actress. She's just good at taking direction when she's given good direction. But she looks the part. It's gory. It's dark. There's actual witchiness to it. It's just so good, man. Like, and I think that all the stuff that I wanted Riverdale to be like, that they failed so hard in season one, and I won't watch any more of it because I slogged through one season and it was so bad. I don't even care how hot the girls are in it. It's just not worth the effort. But man, Sabrina's so great. I love the weird sisters. I love the aunts. So Megan and I watched it. Took us 10 days because we took a pretty – maybe because we were doing like one episode a night. Maybe we would do like an episode and a half one other night and then not at all. But it took us like a week and a half to finish. And it's just so good. Megan had some qualms with it because she wanted it to be more like the Melissa Joan Hart TV show, and it's not light. I mean, there are funny parts to it, but it's like, it's not a comedy at all.
And here's the thing, because I originally thought that too, but I feel like if it was kind of more like the Melissa Joan Hart, it'd be like, oh, this is a nice nostalgic reminder, and I probably wouldn't get past three episodes.
No, the fact that it's not really nostalgic, I think that they do a good job giving an homage to the characters in the previous show.
Yeah.
Characteristically. But I don't think that, I think that the tone, the shift in tone is great. I think that the additional characters are awesome. And I've read a little bit of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, that, you know, that's last 5 years or so, I want to say. Somebody that knows more about those comics will probably call me out after listening to the episode. But I've read a couple of the issues of the actual comic, and this really hits a lot of that ambiance, which I really like because it's dark and modern, but it's very much like a, it's got kind of a Tim Burton-y thing going on without being quite so chintzy. And it's got a very old New England feel to it. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever been to Salem, Massachusetts, to like the witch house. And okay, yeah. Brian, have you?
No.
Oh, it's awesome. But it's got like that colonial kind of feel to it. In other ways,
it's a really cool city.
Yeah, it's a great city. But also, I mean, Sabrina hits that kind of feeling as well. It's hard to explain, but it's got a lot of stuff going for it. And I think that it's got, the only thing that I missed in season one that I don't know if we'll ever get, but I'd really like to see more monster episodes. Like, we only get, I think it's only 10 or 11 episodes. There's 10 episodes, I want to say. And we really only get one monster of the week, which is fine. But I would really like in season two for there to be more Monster of the Week episodes, because then you can have demons and you can have, I really want a werewolf episode real bad. You know, stuff. I want it to be a little bit Buffy in that way, where it's kind of self-contained, or have two episodes that follow like, you know, a minor villain that is being, the strings are being pulled by the big bad of the season, stuff like that. I'd really like to see that.
I think that they probably will.
There isn't a whole lot of gas in the tank if they don't.
Yeah, and the reason for that is, like, the issue, which I'm kind of glad, is, like, they didn't carry on to a second season. So, like, the ultimate storyline for season one is closed. You know what I mean? Like, it's
yeah.
You can add on.
The door's open, because you know the overarching plot for the big bad.
Yeah. But I'm just excited because my biggest thing with Netflix is I burn through a series the week it's released and I have to wait a year for it to come out. Season two comes out this month.
What?
Next month. It comes out.
Are December you serious? 14th. So yeah, they basically did like a full season and broke it into two. So mm-hmm. It's one season of 20 episodes or something.
Yeah. Midwinter's Tale, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, December
14th. Dude, you made my day with that news. That is amazing.
I'm really excited. Me and Jade are really excited.
Did Jade watch it and like it too?
Oh, yeah. Like, that was the show where, like, we sat down and just, it was like our thing. We didn't watch movies. It was almost tough to do this month. Luckily, I caught up, but, like, I didn't watch anything but Sabrina until the season was over, which doesn't seem like much because it's only, like, 10 episodes.
But the episodes are long and they're engrossing. They're like 55 minutes.
To get an hour a day is tough.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I really enjoyed it.
I went, so as per usual, I'm going to start at the most disappointing movies I watched up to my favorite movies that I watched this month. I had such high expectations for the movie mid-90s, and it's probably in my bottom 10 of the year. I was really, really disappointed by it. Oh. I don't want to get into too much. People are going to really like it. My problem with the movie is that the tone of the movie is very much like Kids and Bully and like a lot of those Larry Clark movies that just make me feel gross and dirty, and I don't like that. So, yeah, I was expecting to see like a fun movie about, like, you know, a kid who maybe has a rough family life, but, you know, he hangs out with people that the world sees as degenerates, but they actually, like, show him love and friendship and blah, 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 blah. And it's more so just like a kid's shitty life gets shittier. just not really for me. So that's all I'm going to say about mid-90s. There are people who will call it the best picture of the year, and that's totally fine. Like, I get that. It just was not the movie I wanted to watch. Brian!
Mayan, I'm not going to do from worst to best, but I am going to do the worst first because it infuriated me so much. I spent $3 to rent Super Troopers 2. Oh. And it is easily I'm like very, the best thing to come out of this movie is when someone asked me like, what's the worst movie you've ever seen? I never really have an answer because I've seen a lot of bad movies. Super Troopers 2 is probably the worst movie I've ever seen.
Ever.
Like it was to the point where like I almost want people to watch at least the first 10 minutes. Like if you don't pay for it, but if it's ever on Amazon Prime or Netflix, which I'm sure it will be, give yourself 10 minutes of this movie and just know that, that's what the movie is for the next. Like, I think I smirked once and it was a childish smirk. It wasn't even like, oh, that was clever.
If they can't get a dick or fart joke to make you laugh.
And funny thing was, it was a dick thing that made me laugh.
Oh, smirk, not laugh.
Yeah. It made me smirk. I mean, there was the fucking, there's a scene where they're looking at Favre in like night vision goggles. Like this isn't the part that made me smirk, but I'm just saying like, Favre in like night vision goggles and he's peeing and farting and burping and it's showing. And it's like just such a played out joke. And it's just like so forced and so long and like just nothing about the movie is good. The fact that fucking Rob Lowe agreed to do this movie is beyond me.
He's not doing much.
And it's got the guy that I love. It's got the guy from fucking Tucker and Dale vs. Evil.
Tyler.
Yeah, the guy from that Hulu series where he's a medium.
Yeah. Tyler Levine. Yeah. He was in Deadbeat as well.
Yeah, Deadbeat. Yeah, it was just a bad movie, man. It was really bad. Probably the worst movie I've ever seen.
So the and I told you this in chat when you said that it was bad, but I donated to their Kickstarter, and that was the first Kickstarter I ever donated to, so maybe it'll be the last.
Yeah, it's very, very unfortunate. I really, like, I think I told it to you, and I wasn't joking. Like, I kind of want to go back to the Kickstarter and see if there's anything where if you donate a certain amount, you get to, like, write a joke or do something. Because, like, I know they're not hilarious, but it's not, it's worse than, like, Club Dread humor, you know?
That's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Club Dread was not as fun as it should have been at all.
No. No. So... poo on you, Super Troopers 2. Like that rhyme, just made it up.
All right, well, that's how they do their. That's how they do most of their jokes too.
Yeah.
Did that? Yeah, does that make you chuckle? A little bit. Okay, it's going in a fucking loop.
Let's do it.
I have to tell you that it is a lie that I when I said that I wouldn't do a Kickstarter again. Maybe not an actual Kickstarter, but I did donate to a film. That we are pals with the creator. I donated to the WNUF Halloween sequel. And I also was like, hey, Chris, man, if you want some music or sound effects, I'm your guy. So I really hope that he hits me up for that. But I think that I'll be smarter in the future about giving money to filmmakers where, I mean, I was just like, oh, sure, I'll pay for the DVD. I think I got the DVD level for Super Troopers 2. Haven't gotten that DVD yet, so maybe I didn't. But I definitely am going to get a lot more enjoyment out of WNUF sequel because I didn't pay to watch it the first time. I saw it on Shudder. So, I mean, yeah, I paid Shudder and they paid Chris, but you know what I mean? Like, I didn't buy a physical copy, so... And the tier that I did, I believe, comes with an unmarked, handmade copy of WNUF Halloween sequel on VHS.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah, so I mean, I can't get one of the original WNUF on VHS like he had, but I can definitely get one of the sequel. So there's that. Anyway, so the next one that I want to talk about is another TV show that Megan and I absolutely adored. It is called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and it is on Amazon Prime. It is the reason Megan finally caved and bought Prime.
Really?
So it is a period dramedy, I want to say. There's a lot more comedy than drama to it, but it is not a straight comedy show. And it's about this Jewish housewife in New York City in 1955, I want to say 1954, 1955. And she wants to, or she, it's about her becoming a female stand-up comic. And it is absolutely charming. It is such a good show. Megan says it's her favorite show since Mad Men, which is crazy because Mad Men is her all-time favorite show ever. And it's pretty insane that she would like anything even close to as much as she likes Mad Men. It's not as deep as Mad Men is, but it's a lot funnier. And the lead is absolutely gorgeous and hilarious and sassy as fuck. I highly recommend anybody that has Prime to watch it immediately. Season 2 comes out December 4th. And it's got it's got a bunch of relatively famous people in it, like Jane Lynch has a small role in season 1. There are a bunch of people that I can't remember their names, but that the short, dark-haired, kind of portly woman who was on Mad TV.
Sure.
She would play that Asian, like.
Oh yeah, I can't think of her name. I know who you're talking about. Other
female lead in Mrs. Maisel, and like she and the lead got Golden Globe awards or something. Crazy amounts of awards for the show. It's very well done. It's beautiful. Have you guys ever seen How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying?
No. I actually just saw the ad for this show too. I forgot what I was watching, but I was like, wow, that actually looks right up my alley. So I'm by your rave recommendation, I'm gonna have to check this out.
It is probably the best show I've seen all year. Just a smidge better than Sabrina because it's better pacing. Like Sabrina still has a tiny bit of that teen drama because it's in the CW Riverdale world. It's literally across the lake or something or across the river. There's Greendale and Riverdale, and they're basically sister cities. So that's the only reason why it's got a little bit of that drama in it that I don't love. But yeah, Mrs. Maisel, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Prime is so good. Highly recommend. Can't recommend it highly enough.
Awesome.
So my next thing is a VHS tape that my good friend Scott Rogers sent to me in the mail. I finally got to see Needful Things, and it was just okay.
It was so just okay, right?
It was very just okay.
That's like the book.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the book enough, but I didn't realize that this was like a made-for-TV movie that they just trimmed down into a two-hour film.
Yeah, I was so surprised. So here's the story, is that I found it at an estate sale, and I posted about it, and Matt's like, hey, if you're gonna like sell that Needful Things VHS at Mania, like, can I borrow it and watch first? I was like, buddy, you can just have it. And because I was like, who would really want this unless a super hardcore Stephen King fanatic? And it's because Matt didn't realize that it's a mediocre made for TV movie.
Well, it's not just that. I've been trying to see all of the, like, as I finish the book, I try to watch the movie adaptation.
Right. Okay.
And that the DVD is just like fucking impossible to find. But yeah, so Needful Things, it's fine, but it definitely is very much a made for TV movie. So it's not very gory or even interesting at times, but I'm glad I finally saw it. Cross it off the list. Thank you, Scott. Brian, on to you.
I watched the first two seasons of Atypical in less than 3 days.
Damn! Are those an hour or half an hour episodes?
They're a half hour episode. They're like 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, do I love this show. I absolutely adored the show. I appreciate what they did. So they did the first season, and it was it's a drama comedy, but they do a really good job. My brother saw the first episode, so it's not like Scrubs comedy where like it's really goofy and then there's serious parts. It's more of a drama, but there's a lot of really funny parts in it. But I guess they got some backlash on the first season for not being super accurate with autism. Like there are some things that are more like Hollywood autism that people were saying and not what it really is. So they hired a bunch of people for season two, like that have autism, that specialize in it to help them work with it. And season two is just an emotional roller coaster.
Wait, so people that have autism are people that are like autism specialists?
Both.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
there are autistic actors in it?
No, like there's like an autistic guy that's part of, I don't want to say directing, but he's on site, you know, like he's written a book. I can't remember the guy's name. I think David Finch or something like that. Yeah, man, what a great show. And I love that kid. I mean, I don't see him often, so I don't want to say he's in a lot of stuff, but he's in, it's kind of a funny story. He's got a small role in Tales of Halloween, but man, I adore him and I adore his character. and it's a great show, and I can't wait for season three. I was upset when I realized that I watched the entire series. So that's my pick.
All right, Scotty.
Well, if we're talking about great child actors, I want to talk about a movie that Megan forced me to watch the other day that I really didn't want to watch. She forced me to watch Wonder with Julia Roberts, Owen Wilson, and a really incredibly talented child actor. And it's about a boy with a facial abnormality. And he's was homeschooled until he's 10 and then goes to real junior high for fifth grade. And it's about him making friends for the first time. And it was based on a book. It was really great. Megan cried a lot. I doubt my eyes a couple times. I was not upset with her, but I knew exactly what was going to happen. I was going to be like, it was like the time that she was like, let's just watch. It'll be fun to watch Me Before You, which is like very ableist, I know, but it's just a fucking drama, you know. Like I hate dramas. I don't like movies that make me feel feelings. I like horror movies that are about things that would never happen. So yeah, so we watched Wonder, and I had all the feelings, and I didn't like it. But I mean, it's a really well made movie. It's very heartwarming and heartfelt. But the final scene was very saccharine. I understand that it was based on a book, and so they're probably just following what happens at the end of the book. But if they would have ended in the ended the movie at the second to last scene, it would have been a perfect ending to the movie. It would have felt grounded in reality, and it would have been fine. And then they did this last scene in it, and it was just too Hollywood and very saccharine, as I said, very like over the top, and it bugged the piss out of me.
Yeah, I can't watch that. I'm at a point in my life where I just can't watch any movies. That I think it's called Boy. I can't remember the name of the movie, but there's
Beautiful Boy, the one where he's got the drug addiction.
No, not that. That too, though, because I watched that trailer too. But the one where the boy is gay and they send him to like the Pray the Gay Away camp.
I don't know about.
Oh, that Boy Erased.
Boy Erased. The fact that I've watched that trailer. Just the trailer and Beautiful Boy trailer and have cried. I'm like not at a point in my life where I can watch it. You know what I mean? Like I'm like the scene in Dumb and Dumber when they're crying at the fucking the Tylenol commercial or whatever.
Dude, I can't even watch like a video about a cute dog that's posted on the Dodo's Facebook page without tearing up.
I know. I don't know how I watched Atypical because I cried a few times during Atypical.
This is what people come to Horror Movie Night for, is to hear about how we're such babies.
Yeah. All right. So I went and I visited Brian recently, and, you know, he sat me down and he made me watch Tales of Halloween, and it was all right. I didn't hate it, but I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. But there's some pretty good little segments in there, and then there's some real trash segments in there.
There's one. There's one real trash segment.
Yeah, no, the witch one is fucking atrocious. Yeah. But yeah, like the one that you like, Trick, was good. My favorite one's the little alien trick or treating. That
right,
little claymation
yeah.
alien
that is great.
Is adorable as fuck. But yeah, it was fine. I don't know if I don't think I would watch it every Halloween or anything, but I certainly wouldn't pick it if I was only going to pick five movies. But yeah, so it was fine. On to you, Scott.
All right, I got another TV show, and I've had some pretty positive reviews today. I need to take it down a notch to usual Scott Roger territory. I watched Castlevania Season 2 and tried to, and I hated it. I can't stand that fucking show. Like, the first two or three episodes of Season 1, or I think there might have only been a couple episodes in Season 1. Like
yeah,
four
I think
episodes,
it was only three episodes or something.
I think it's four, but the first episode and a half of Season 1 was just killer. When, like, Dracula takes, like, lets all the night horde out and they just murder everybody. It's basically like a serious episode of Metalocalypse. I loved it, but now they're getting into all the drama and I could not give less of a shit. It's so stupid. And, like, everything is very obviously for a person that is not me. Like that sounds shitty. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm not the target audience because Simon and the Seer are always like flirtatious and smartassy, and Alucard, the son of Dracula, is like brooding but also sarcastic and witty, and I hate it. This is why I don't watch anime. And it like, it just took all the fun out of the first episode and a half. And it's hard. I don't think I even made it 3 episodes through season 2 before I was just so pissed off and tired of it that I was just like, nope, done. So yeah, fuck that for ruining a great idea. And but also here's the thing, is that I am a Nintendo Castlevania guy, and I think that the Castlevania TV show is supposed to be Symphony of the Night, which is PlayStation?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's past my time, and so I'm like the grumpy old man who's like, not my Simon Belmont.
Old man yelling at a cloud. Also, Brian, I'm sorry, I just realized I totally skipped you. So you're up next.
It's okay, right? Because he doesn't have a whole lot to talk about.
Yeah. No, I don't have much to say. I did watch Horror at the Cecil Hotel.
What's that?
It's on Amazon Prime. It's just a 3-episode mini docuseries. I don't know if it's on Amazon Prime or if it's on the ID channel, because I subscribe to that too.
Is it about H.H. Holmes or what is it?
No. So the Cecil Hotel is this famous hotel in Los Angeles. Probably the most famous story with it is the Elisa Lam story, where that girl like just went missing.
And then they found her body in the water? Water?
Yeah, yes. Okay. And Richard Ramirez stayed there. 3 incredible episodes. And for like docuseries, like you watch like ID channels, they're pretty much like, you know, they don't put much effort into it. As far as like they'll tell the story fairly well. But like this setup for all 3 episodes was so well done. I don't know why they put so much effort into it. Like, I was blown away at like there's twists and turns that you don't expect in like a true crime docuseries like that. The only one that I probably enjoyed the least was Elisa Lam, because I kind of knew most of it. But the first episode and the last episode, I had no idea about. And they're just like, they're jaw dropping when it kind of gets to the turning point. So I would suggest anybody watch it. You can watch it in a night. I mean, they're like 45 minutes to an hour long episodes. Very good, though.
All right. Well, Brian, you have something to add possibly to my next thing on my list. While I was visiting Brian, we watched the newest episode of Into the Dark, the monthly anthology series from Blumhouse, which is basically just feature length movies. So we watched the Thanksgiving episode Flesh and Blood, which was a pretty fun little movie. Like Brian described it pretty well as like instantly forgettable but fun, and like that's kind of how I feel about it. I can't remember too much, but we had a good time watching it.
I enjoyed that, and the first, you still have to watch the first episode, but the first episode, The Body, I think that you two would probably enjoy a little more, because it's,
we've talked about that, right?
More horror comedy.
It's the guy from Ash versus Evil Dead, right?
It could be. Like I said, very forgettable.
Yeah,
I can't remember what anyone looks like.
I'm pretty positive that I know that Shockwave's talked at length about Into the Dark, so and they talked a bit about that, and I'm pretty positive that's the guy who plays Ray Santiago. He plays Pablo. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, I was thinking of the hitman. Yes, it is Pablo. Pablo is absolutely in this. God, I don't know why I drew a blank. But yeah, I mean, the whole premise for the movie is a hitman is trying to transport his victim, and everyone thinks it's part of a great Halloween costume.
Yeah.
So it's like fucking bonkers. You know, it's like just like a more of a comedy. It's very weird to see Pablo play a cool guy. He probably shouldn't do that ever again. You know, it would be like if Michael Cera was like the cool guy in this movie.
Youth and Revolt?
but he's a not cool guy playing a cool, you know what I mean? Like
that's true. Yeah.
He's a not cool guy whose alter ego is a cool guy. Yeah. So that I'll allow.
I liked the concept of Flesh and Blood. And so Flesh and Blood is about a girl who's agoraphobic, and she begins to suspect that her father could be a serial killer. but she's unable to leave the house because of her disease. So it's like a very tense concept. But yeah, it's good. It's a good, fun time.
Yeah. I'm excited for the next one.
All right. We'll go to Scott again.
Okay.
I fucked up the lineup, but that's fine.
So I'm going to just touch on both of these real quick. The first one I watched last month, but I forgot and I had to add it to my list and mention it now. And the other one I watched 2 days ago. And these are both possible future watches, so I don't want to say anything about them. I just want to put the bug in your brains about them. So Night Angel from, I want to say, 92. Okay. Maybe it's a full moon. I'm not sure. It's pretty deep cut, whatever it is. And it's not great, but it's got some bombastic parts that I think we could talk about. It's like a succubus kind of movie.
Ooh.
But it's fun. I mean, it's a schlocky B horror movie, kind of sexy, but yeah. And then I watched Mind Warp for the first time, and that's a Bruce Campbell flick, and I had no idea.
What? Amazing.
I've wanted to watch Mind Warp for years, and then it's on Amazon Prime, and so I'm like, hell yeah, I'll watch that for free. I'll watch that on Megan's dime, you know, because she's like, I pay for Shudder, she pays for Hulu, Amazon Prime, and Netflix, and so I always feel like when I watch horror or weird sci-fi without her on any of those platforms that I'm like stealing from her. But yeah, both of them are prospective 2019, probably 2020 horror movie night picks, because I might need a little break before I go back to them.
Nice.
All right. So I'm going to do two as well, because I have nothing to say about the one, but the other one's going to probably bleed into one of Brian's. So I'll just knock them both out. So I would say rewatch, but I don't remember anything about this movie really. So I watched for the first time in many, many years, the Ray Harryhausen film Mysterious Island, which, like a lot of Ray Harryhausen films, is fairly boring until the claymation creatures come out. And
is
then
Ray Harryhausen the guy that did like Clash of the Titans,
okay, and Jason the Argonauts and all that stuff. So yeah, it's a group of people end up on a mysterious island where there's like giant chickens and all types of crazy claymation effects.
What year is it?
Like 66 or something like that. It's an old 60s film. I used to love these claymation movies,
yeah,
but I don't remember much about this one. And yeah, like Jason the Argonauts, I love from start to finish, but most of the other movies, if there's not a claymation creature on the screen, I'm kind of losing my interest.
Yeah.
And this is about the same. But also, right before I boarded my plane to come home, Brian, Jade, and I rented Mom and Dad on...
Oh, okay, don't tell me anything, because I'm watching it for our next month's roundup. I have it on my list.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's Nicolas Cage turned up to 1,000, but man, is it not fun. And the best gift is that it's like 80 minutes long.
Oh,
like,
thank God.
It gets in there. It gets to its premise pretty quickly. It's basically Cell, but it's
Cell,
by Stephen King.
I wasn't sure if you were talking the Jennifer Lopez one or not.
Yeah, no. It's basically like the Stephen King book Cell to a certain extent. But yeah, it's fun. It's not that gory. I wanted to say it's gory, but it's more just like a lot of ooh moments than like big blood spurts.
Stubbed your toe kind of moments.
Yeah, but yeah, it's fun. And again, Nicolas Cage is just so endearingly crazy.
Yeah, it's adorable.
You got anything to add on that one, Brian?
No, not. I'm just going to save everything for when Scott sees it, and we're just going to have a little spoiler alert discussion.
Well, when we do our
and we can talk about
roundup, it's going to be so spoilery.
Yeah, we're not going to do a what do we watch this month for December. We're going to just do our end of the year wrap up instead.
Mm-hmm.
So be prepared. All right, Scott, you got anything else?
I have one more.
How do I keep getting skipped?
Oh.
No, my skipping you with saying, do you have anything to add about Mom and Dad? Because you said, I got nothing to talk about before we hit record.
I have very little. Because you watch 20 movies a month, and I watch 4.
But to be fair, you watched 2 seasons of that TV show. And, yeah.
And Sabrina. I can't help it if I have a heart and it just sucks me into drama sometimes.
Ugh. All right, just shut up and go on.
I watched The First Purge. Not the first one, the last one, but called The First Purge, the most recent one. And I will say this. I understand why people like Fast and the Furious movies, because The Purge is like the Fast and the Furious of horror. It's entertaining. It's not good. The acting is terrible. The storyline sucks. Everything about it sucks, but it's like an hour and a half of entertainment, and I was entertained for it. And I will say that. And that's all I have to say about The First Purge, of the newest Purge that's called The First Purge. Boom. Shitty, shitty prequel title. I will say that.
Yeah. All right. Well, then I'll go.
No.
So I mentioned this briefly on our Patreon episode, I believe, but I watched Fantastic Beasts, the first one, not the second one yet. I'll probably see that this weekend. But yeah, Fantastic Beasts. I finally got around to watching it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. And did we say that in Messenger, or were we talking or texting? I can't remember.
I think it's on the Patreon episode. You were like, it's my favorite.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And I said, no, I agree with that. So okay, yeah, it's a delight. It's very a hot charming. Take. It's fun. Yeah. Hot take. It's great.
Anyway, so I have one last thing, because I have other things that I watched this month, technically, but they're all horror, sci-fi, and genre films from 2018. So I'm going to save them for next month. So the last non-horror thing that the last thing I have to say is Megan forced me to watch another drama called The Big Sick. And Matt loves that movie, and I could have done without that 2 hours of drama in my life. Now, when I say that Megan made me, she didn't make me. She's just such a comfortable person to snuggle with that I couldn't say no. And like, there are parts when I'm starting to tear up and I'm like, I'm going to get up. And she's like, just stay. And like, one of the dogs is behind my legs on the couch and we're curled up and it's warm. And so I just stayed, you know. I didn't have the will to get up, but yeah, The Big Sick, I would have loved to have never watched that again, or I would have loved to have never watched that in the first place, because I don't do dramas. I hate dramas. And although it's a very charming movie, I don't want to feel those feelings.
I really liked it.
Of course you did.
It's like one of my favorite films of that year, honestly.
Was that, that was this year, right? Or was that 2017?
That was 2017.
Really? Okay.
But I also, I think it helps that, like, I know I've met Camille and Molly, or Emily, like the real life ones.
Yeah.
And they are just like the cutest, sweetest couple. So like, being able to see the true story of how they met is like adorable as shit. So
good.
So yeah, they're good people. They actually ran, they were the owners of the Meltdown in Los Angeles, which was a very famous comic book shop comedy club that just recently closed last year. And they pretty much, most of the big name comics that you might know today all got their start because of the two of them. So it's really a cool thing that they got to do a movie about their lives after helping so many people like find their potential. So I love that movie for personal reasons and because I just think it's a good movie. Brian, do you have anything to add, or should I wrap it up real quick?
No, I'll just throw in Haunting of Hill House. Great show. Please watch it.
I don't have any interest in watching that because of the same thing. I don't want to feel feelings. Everybody's telling me to watch that shit, and I'm like, I don't want to feel those feelings.
I don't think that the feelings are felt as much as people allude to feelings being felt. I will say,
I don't know, man.
Listen, Dr. Seuss. So last two things I watched, and one of these, Scott will have some small tidbits. And
no, I won't. Okay. I thought you were going to say I was going to make fun of you.
Yeah. So I watched Upgrade. Upgrade was fantastic. We'll talk about it more
next month.
But yeah, very good. Gory as hell. I didn't love it, but I like it a lot.
Did you read a lot of cyberpunk when you were a kid?
No, not at all.
Okay, so I read every piece I could get my hands on, and that's why I liked Upgrade.
I think the second act is incredible, and the first act is pretty good. I could care less about the third act.
I think the third act was great, and I think the ending, while not what I was expecting, is actually a happy ending, and we'll get to that next month.
Yeah. And then my favorite movie that I saw this month, because I'm a big old softy that loves Christmas, is the remake of The Grinch. I loved the new Grinch movie that came out. So here's the thing. A lot of people don't like the new Grinch movie because they feel like it doesn't have any bite. And I think that that's why I do like it, is that they went in a different direction with the Grinch this time around, where he's not just this salty asshole who hates Christmas. They went a different direction where he's a lonely guy suffering from depression, and seeing all of these people out there being happy makes him feel even worse about himself. So he wants to take it away so that he doesn't have to feel bad internally. And I think that that's a much more relatable story than just like this Scroogey curmudgeon that's just trying to steal things from people. So I felt like it did a good job of hitting an emotional level, but also being really fucking funny, because one of the Who's is voiced by Kenan Thompson, who I just think is fucking hysterical all the time. So it's good. I think it's very good. It's going to be a Christmas regular film in my household. So, that's it. So if we have nothing else to say, that is what did we watch this month. As we said earlier in the show, we will not be doing this for December. Instead, we're going to be doing a year roundup of all of the best horror films that we saw in 2018. That was released in 2018. We watched a lot of horror movies in 2018.
Yeah, I know. It's just the ones that came out this year.
But that's it. So we will be back in a couple days with another episode of Horror Movie Night. Ooh.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.